The reading is from 1 John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
Now, prayer. Lord Jesus, my prayer this morning is that I might speak the truth about you. Amen. Amen. Wonderful words that Heather just read for us. And this morning we'll be looking closely at the first part of this chapter. And please do tune in again this evening, if you're able to, at 6:30, when we will look at the second part. So let's look at those first four verses again, shall we? Let's look at what John is actually telling us here. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it. We testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Wow. Well, some might say that these opening verses are a little bit cryptic, particularly if you're reading them for the very first time this morning. What is John actually saying? Well, friends, there are some real basic truths here about Jesus, about who he is, where he came from, about life, about what it all means. What is life? My friends, there are some answers here to some of life's biggest questions. Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? And what happens to us after this life is over? John is what we call an eyewitness. He was there with Jesus throughout his ministry here on earth, and John affirms that physical reality. He saw that Jesus Christ came to earth in the flesh, and he wanted to correct the false teaching, those people who wanted to deny the humanity of Christ. Do you know, today, more than ever, when I ask people who they think Jesus is, I find they're quite likely to say something like this to me. Well, I think he was a good man. He was a good teacher. He did a lot of good things. And then if I maybe push them a little bit further, they might say, yeah, he taught us some things about God. Well, you know, in John's day, when this letter was written, the world was a different place. The idea that God became flesh and dwelt amongst us, well, flesh was considered dirty, corrupt, and the people couldn't get their heads around the idea that Jesus was God incarnate. Now, I just mentioned the incarnation. So let me be clear. God incarnate, what does that mean? Well, the incarnation is a Christian truth that is quite central. It's at the very core of what we believe as Christians, that God became flesh, that God became a man. God lived here on earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, Christ was truly God and Christ was truly man. Now, John gets it. He really gets it. And he wants us to get it. We saw him, he says in verse 1. We heard him. We touched him. Jesus, the Word of life, who lived with the Father before this world was created, he appeared in human flesh. We sang earlier, didn't we? From heaven you came, helpless babe. This is our God. We sang, you're the Word of God the Father. You're the author of creation. Now, when you just stop and think about that for a moment, how awesome is that? So this morning, let me tell you that grasping this basic truth, well, it's essential. It's vital. And without grasping this truth, we cannot experience the truth of the gospel. We can't enjoy fellowship with God. We can't enjoy being joined to his people. You see, it's only when we embrace this basic truth that our joy will be complete. Our joy will be full and never ending. Now, John will go on in this chapter to talk about light and darkness, sin, and being made right with God. It's all brilliant stuff, and we're going to come back to that tonight. But there's so much in this one chapter, we need two services to get to grips with it. So we believe that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. And just to make that absolutely clear, this is what we're going to consider together for the next few minutes this morning. So you might say, well, where does it say that, Stuart, in the text? Well, right there in those opening four verses. He was there with the Father, that which was from the beginning. He's appeared to us here on earth. Now, I wonder, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, which camp are you most likely to fall into? Forgetting that Jesus is really God, or forgetting that Jesus is really man? John talks about the Word of life, doesn't he? He's talking about Jesus Christ. We'll see that in verse 3. He's also talking about the proclamation of the gospel. The life appeared. The life appeared. Now, when I read this, it prompted some questions in my mind. So what is life? John says the life appeared. We have seen it. We testify it to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So what do we mean by life? Life, that energy, that vitality, that movement that every living being possesses. It's the thing that goes away when a person dies. I wonder if you sometimes wake up and you say, I feel really alive this morning. Well, what is it that keeps a person alive? What is it that determines when that life ends, when that life passes. I don't know if you've ever sat with someone at the end of their life. It's an incredible experience, a really special moment. I remember sitting with my wife's mum 3 years ago when her earthly life ended. So my wife, Krista, was there too, of course. The three of us were there together. And some of you knew Margaret. We watched together as Margaret breathed her last breath, as her life on earth ended. One moment she was alive, and then she was no longer alive. And some of you listening this morning will have experienced something similar. That life lasted for 86 years. 86 years breathing and moving and thinking and talking. Yes, she talked a lot. But life is so fragile, isn't it? We've seen that this year, of course, with all of the uncertainty, the anxiety of losing loved ones. I spoke with my cousin and her husband just a few weeks ago. Stuart, he said, my dad went into hospital with coronavirus. He said this was back in April. We weren't allowed to visit him. It all happened so quickly. 4 days after he went into hospital, 4 days we lost him. He was gone. 4 days. The fragility of life. It touches all of our families, doesn't it? Your friend goes to hospital for a scan. Maybe it's not good news. And within a few months, that life is over. A young girl runs out into the road and is hit by a moving car. That young life is gone. We cling on to life, don't we? But the reality is we can't. It really is something mysterious, life. We can't put life into a test tube. And Matthew 6 reminds us, and which of you by worrying can add even 1 hour to his life? Well, that's my introduction, my friends. I want you to work with me this morning. If you're following Christ and call yourself a Christian, or if you are reading these words for the very first time, let's look at the facts. Let's look at what John teaches us about life, because he gets it. He wants us to get it. So the first fact is this: life is eternal. True life is eternal. We were thinking about eternity, weren't we, with the young people this morning. Do you know, we tend to think that death is eternal, don't we, in our culture. In the society we live in, they would say that life is just temporary. I've heard people say, he'll be a long time dead, Stuart. Well, actually, will he? John really turns that idea right on its head, doesn't he, in these verses. Most people assume that when life is over, then death is eternal. Think about that. This text tells us differently. This text says that life is not temporary. Life is eternal. It's death that is temporary. Now, why is that? Why is that? Does God create life? Well, that's a great question. And I don't think you'll find that verse in the Bible. Do you know why? Because God is life. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God created Adam? No need to turn to it, but let me read for you. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You see, God is life. He wants us to have eternal life. A life that is so much more substantial and stronger and so much more durable, so much more full and real. This life, this fragile life that we've been speaking about that can end just like that, is just a foreshadow of what's to come, my friends. Do you believe that? It's going to be truly wonderful. Now, I could go on about eternal life, but point number two is that life is relational. So life is eternal and life is relational. John speaks about true fellowship in verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen, what we have heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We go through life, don't we, assuming that we are all individuals. We like to live individual lives. We're in control. We're in control of what we do, aren't we? And what we say, and what we think. We choose which university we want to go to. We choose which career we want. We choose the person that we marry, maybe. We even decide what to wear in the morning. Unless you're my dad, of course, and then my mom decides. But we are not isolated individuals. This passage tells us that we are in relationship. We're in relationship with someone far, far greater than you and me. Life is eternal and life is relational. And John speaks here of fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All part of life eternal. That Father relationship was there at the beginning. Let me put it this way. I am a father. I have four children, and I can tell you the exact day that I became a father. 6th of October, 1983. And there's a number of young guys in our church that have very recently become fathers. But none of us are eternal fathers. Unlike God, you see, God, the eternal Father, has always been the eternal Father. Please don't think that God was there all by himself at the beginning, feeling a bit lonely. He has always been a relational God because life is relational. God is relational, and God the Son was there with him when the world was created. There has always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living in that eternal relationship. Yes, there was a day, that very first Christmas day, when he appeared amongst us in the form of a person. So what is this secret of life? Some would say it's an idea, it's a philosophy, or maybe it's a set of actions. A way that we live in a certain way. We do certain things. We follow a set of morals. Some would say it's a fitness regime. Some would say it's about working hard or meditating, discovering ourselves. Really? Christianity teaches us that life is eternal, life is relational, and finally, number three, life is personal. You see, true life is revealed to us in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. My friends, if you want to find the secret of life, you must look to this person. Life is eternal, it's relational, it's personal. So why has God appeared to us? Why has he chosen to reveal himself to us? Well, he became a man that we might become like God. He became a man that we might become like God. You see, we are invited to share in the very likeness of God. We become like God, we share his nature, his divine image. We are remade, we are refashioned. You see, true life is seen in Jesus, and we become like him when we walk in the light. We'll be thinking a little bit more about light and darkness this evening. But friends, in these strange times in which we're living, right here in the year 2020, 2,000 years after Jesus Christ walked on this earth, We need have no fear about the slipping away of life into nothingness. Rather, that the life that is permanent, it can never be broken because of Jesus. Eternal life becomes yours and mine when we turn to him, when we change our direction. You remember those young people this morning, we were trying to change the direction of their foot going round and round. Now, I can't change the direction of your life, but when we turn and accept Jesus, that is a life-changing decision. We accept him as our Saviour and friend. We share in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so that we might have life in all its fullness. We're invited into that fellowship this morning. It's a privilege because of the incarnation. Because John told us that God appeared to us, he revealed himself to us, and that's why he wrote all this down. He didn't just make it up, John. He was with him, he saw him, he touched him, he heard him. Now, our greatest ambition is becoming like Jesus, sharing all of those wonderful characteristics: humility, peace, grace, generosity, kindness, love. God became a man and dwelt amongst us. And because of that, we have this invitation to eternal life, relational life, that life in the person of Jesus. We can be transformed. And you can be drawn into that fellowship of believers. And John tells us, as we share the fellowship of God, we write this to make our joy complete. So what should I do, Stuart? I hear you ask. I want this eternal life. I want this relational life. I want this personal relation with Christ. Well, the first step is for us to open ourselves to the joy of God, to the blessings of the Holy Spirit, in thankfulness to Jesus Christ. To accept who he is, to accept what he has done in paying the price for our sin on the cross. We just learned in verse 3 that fellowship is God's answer to the loneliness of life. And John tells us as well that joy is God's answer to the emptiness of life. Do you know, joy is not something that we can manufacture ourselves. Joy is, if you like, a byproduct of our fellowship with God. David knew that joy. If you look at David's Psalms, Psalm 16 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." And John got it. You can read on about what we know. Jesus died for us. He paid the price. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. That's why he came. That's why God came to earth. That's why he became flesh and dwelt amongst us to reconcile us. And you will need to accept what he's done for you and for me. In fact, for the whole world. More of that this evening. But for now, please would you accept, that Jesus came in order that we might know God, that we might have eternal life, that we might enjoy relational life, that we might know the person that is Jesus.